experiment, really. Doing that with the fast turnover, somebody raising other ag products and have a sow, drop a little pig, turn around 9 days and drop another little pig and get it growth and change the pores out. You know, you can do a lot of things because you have a large number. Quick turnover. Timber, you look at that 15, 20, 30 year rotation. So what we have to do is we have to treat the total plan, not just the timber itself, but the soil and water and preparation of stuff we have and all that.
That's going to keep us from running out of trees, maybe. That we'll ever run out of trees at the rate we're going.
I don't think we will, because we have several new varieties of hardwood introduced in Westlake on the trail. Our ag engineers, the ag chemists, the ag research, all these people from land grant colleges do the research for agriculture. They have new breeds, new genetically altered trees that are coming on, and where it would take maybe 45, 50 years to have hardwood big enough to chip for to make saw logs. Now they can have trees that were developed in Australia that are ready in 7 to 8 years. And they clear cut them and pull from hardwood, they don't have to come back in and plant them again. Get the root system already in place. Hardwood come right back. They're in the rows, they come back in 7 to 8 years, rotate again. This is land that one time stood there for 50 years for rotation. Now it's there for 7 years for rotation. So you cut down your time, you get 3 rows all running, 3 cuttings all from the same piece of property. I don't say us having a problem, but we are managing better. We are improving all the large corporations that deal with ours. We have their own private nurses. They do all the genetic research. They improve the varieties and they plant. We actually have some plants planted here, but by seedlings, they look just like tomato plants. Go to pots, you put them in the ground. I should have some planted on the property where the planterized seedlings will be dry 2 years after they've been out. Then move the seedling, they're amber. They're 4 to 6 feet taller than the bare root seedlings that we put out the same time. It costs a little bit of money up front, but the turnaround and turnover is much quicker. Again, it's management. We don't know it all. We have to learn from mistakes. And we have to be willing to change. I guess that's the big thing. We, for a long time, ag people just kind of lost the team. And competition is such now, we're not willing to change or willing to try new approaches. We get along well. Because the industry is simply wait and see. But I like education. Reform education. But you're not going to reform education if you don't have some map, some direction. You know, everybody talks about it, but they don't have a direction. But when we did best management plan for forestry, and it was approved, that was a map, that was a direction. Forestry was used, so that they're all kind of heading in the same direction. But now we have people talking about spending billions of dollars upgrading education. So where's the money going? It's just simply a waste of money unless you know this is the point we want to reach. And we're at this point. Because in education, you're dealing with invariable human beings. And in forestry, you're dealing with something that's going to be there. You know it and eliminate it. If you deal with that tree and you put riding on the bus, they got a toothache, a headache, or whatever. All those would be easy numbers. And if you keep just putting money into it, like most people do, it's not an education problem. You keep just putting money into environmental conservation efforts. First, you have to do the research. And then, if you do it to see what's out there, you have to be willing to change. And I think we're making some great strides in the change. We have a long way to go. We're making great strides. In this country, I think the saddest thing about what we do in this country is we look at the United States as kind of a separate entity. And we carry those programs that do not conserve water, do not conserve topsoil. We carry those type programs to places like South America and Central America and third world countries. And we farm in third world countries. American corporations go there and they farm in third world countries. And because it's outside of the American press, they do things that they wouldn't do in this country because we're more attuned to what you call them for the work there in the press to call it a hand. DDT from that land in this country. But yet we allowed it to be produced in Tennessee and shipped to South America. They used DDT in South America for years. We long ago banned it in this country because we knew what it did to wildlife and humans. Those type of things are wrong. If it's wrong up here, then it's wrong where it is. But we have to, that's a problem we have to solve.
That's like what some of the things we studied. The first settlers over here from England. In England, they had to use the same land. They had limited. As soon as they got over here, boy, it just stripped me. It seemed like we just never learned. Just keep doing the same old thing.
Well, our problem is when we go to our rural countries, we cause it so much havoc. Destroy the country. And then we get upset because the third world countries, the farmers who farmed a certain way all their life and preserved everything and kept it working. In Central America, South America, Vietnam, wherever. Suddenly, we pull out. And it's not productive anymore. But we destroyed the cropland and everything. So what do? They have to get into some kind of money making. So they go into something like an illegal drug operation or something like that. Not because they wanted to, because they destroyed everything they had with it, whether it was livestock or a deli in the soil or whatever. It is. It's a sad situation. We probably never will learn simply because that's the way the human race is. We progress around the circle around a very slow trot.
Go along with the idea that there's places that should always be preserved, like, and never, used for anything but just pure public enjoyment.
Yes, I do. I believe we should have preserves set aside, and I thought it was good to just set aside for that one issue. The thing that frightened me most about our national park system and things of that nature. Say Yellowstone. They commercialize so much now, hotels and everything. They're set up right down the edge of it. You have fast food places. And to me, when you get into a national park situation, if you get away where you're willing to sleep on the ground, do away with all the fine things. Even if you had to park 100 miles away and get on some kind of tram and ride a tram into the thing, be dropped off, or go back to the movie about the dinosaurs or whatever, you're at the car. Let's look at going back to that type of situation. Let's not commercialize ourselves out of it. Sure, there's money to be made. Anytime you got a massive event people gathered in one place, you're going to be able to sell something to drink, something to eat. But what's wrong with these people having to drink water and having to eat some kind of dry fruit or whatever? I mean, they want to enjoy it. Let them enjoy it in the total. Not just go out and enjoy one aspect. They can see it visually, but they don't ever feel it until they can actually feel it.
They were one age.